Okay, if you haven't voted yet, you need to vote by when? Tuesday? It's a pretty crucial race right now for our local. So make sure you take your freedom and do that. Look at who's running and see what they stand for, regardless of what name they have or anything like that. But it's pretty crucial. So if you haven't voted, who has already voted? Anybody? All right. Good number. Good job. Anyway, how are the rest of you doing? Did y'all remember yesterday was Valentine's Day, guys? Who didn't remember? No? Well, we have some candy. At the end of the service, somebody will be standing back there, and you can get some of it and hand them so that maybe it will appease them for what you forgot. Anyway, Valentine's Day, you know, you have to remember what all that means. You remember when you were dating and you poured sugar in their ear and said, "Wilt thou?" and they wilted. So now, who's been married 40 years? Wow. Who's been married 50? 50. Good gracious. 52? Anybody more than 52? How long y'all been married? 55. Anybody 55? Y'all 55 too? Good night. How old are y'all? Unless you're married when you were 10, good night. Well. What? 60? Where? Y'all been married 62? Good night. Wowzer. You know, a husband came home one evening to find his young wife in tears, and he said, "Honey, what in the world is wrong?" She said, "You know that dinner I cooked tonight? I'm so sorry. The dog ate it." She said, "Don't worry. We'll find another dog." You know, living together 60 years is tough. Ain't that right? Why? Because we're so different. I mean, that's just the way it is. You have to work at it. Archie Campbell, you remember him from Hee Haw? He said, this young man and this his girlfriend, they were sitting on the porch, and she's just crying away. And he said, "Sweetheart, what's wrong? Can I just kiss away the tears?" So he kissed her some, and she's still just crying and crying and crying. And he says, "What can I do?" And she said, "Well, you can't do anything. It's hay fever, but keep up the treatment, all right?" You know, one young couple, a young married couple, he was a pastor, and they'd been at this retreat, and they came back and they were asking if anybody wanted to share. So this the young wife of the young pastor, she was nervous. And she said, you know, the pastor asked him, what did they learn? So she said, well, you know, one of the main things they talked about was how God will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. And my husband, is that no good thing? Now, she didn't mean that negatively, though, right? All right. It's good to have y'all with us today. We were surprised to see this many out here, so y'all must not be all Baptists when it's raining like this. You know, they don't come out in the rain as much. I don't know why. After John the Baptist, who was kin to Kermit the Frog, who likes water. Doesn't make any sense, does it? Anyway, good to have y'all with us. We are going back. We're going to be in chapter 21 for a little while. We started last week, but I'm going to back up a couple steps just because of a couple things going on in there that might be a little bit new for you to hear it this way. Because I haven't heard it in my life like this, but it does make some sense. Anyway, Revelation chapter 21, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and there is no more sea." We covered most of that last week. And I saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem. We're going to talk about that a little bit, because basically it is really all one thing. It's not a city and then a Jerusalem inside. It really is symbolic to the whole thing. And if you stay with it before we get out of chapter 21 and chapter 22, I hope some of it will come together for us all a little bit more. Heaven from God made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. You know, it's kind of funny the way John does it, because John starts and he lays these things out there, but he doesn't explain them. He doesn't tell us how that actual part's going to work out. He just kind of moves on to another thing. And, you know, he doesn't explain it. Some of that is really not explained, how that exactly is going to happen. The marriage supper of the Lamb and the bride, I've heard everybody and the brother tell what they think, but John doesn't really explain it. And he kind of goes on, and we see some of that. And I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God, tabernacle. You remember when John said, and God's son, he said, the word was with God, and he became flesh. That's actually that same word out of the Old Testament, and he tabernacled, he dwelt among us. That's important for us to understand today, because when we go back to Genesis with Eden in the garden, we're going to see, I think, where some of this really started, but we don't ever go back that far and look at how this is really, when it ends up, this whole thing is over in chapter 21, chapter 2, when it really happens in real life, what all that comes out of. And it does come out of, I think. So it just says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. You remember what the tabernacle is? We didn't pray, did we? Let's pray. Lord, we're just grateful for the rain. Thank you that you sustain the earth. Thank you that we have a roof that we can be out of the rain. Father, we just thank you for the food we had this morning and this place. Father, our freedom in this country just to be here, and for the truth of your word that we can count on an absolute authority in whatever it speaks on. Father, we ask your blessings upon it and everything that would cause us to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. You remember the tabernacle? The tabernacle was given to Moses by God when he came down off of Mount Sinai in Exodus. Remember, and he gave him 10 commandments. And then he gave him exactly this prescription on how to build a tabernacle. And the tabernacle in the Old Testament was really a U-Haul tent. You know, that's what it was. He told them how to make it. He told them what skins to use, how to dye them, what color. And every piece in it, every piece of furniture, what little bit there was in it, he said, this is how you do it. And then when it was finished, God's presence, his glory, came down and dwelt in the Holy of Holies. And it would be like this. The only gate was at that end, which is the east end. So if you were coming into the tabernacle and then later the temple, it was built on the same form. You came in this door, you go through the outer court, there's a laver of water where there's a sacrifice and water to use, and then an altar, and then you would enter into the building where the priests would normally do something every day. They had bread that they all that. But then in the very back was a cubicle, 15 foot square, 15 by 15 by 15. And then it was the Ark of the Covenant. And it had Moses' rod that budded. It had manna. And it had, what was the other thing? Ten Commandments. So that's where God was, basically. So you had to go through this channel to have fellowship with God. And the only people who could do it was the high priest. Nobody else. But he was a representative for everybody else, all right? So that's how the tabernacle was laid out. So when we talk about the tabernacle of God is with men, you have to keep understanding it is symbolic, because now God comes through the person of Jesus, and there is no hindrances. There's no buildings. There's nothing that keeps you away from Jesus by faith. That's very important, because Adam started this way, because you remember in Genesis it says, and he walked with God in the cool of the day, and he had fellowship with him. You know, that was God in presence among his people. But whenever he sinned, everything got messed up. So now God chooses this way. He said, I am still want to dwell among my people, but I can't just do that anymore because what sin has done. So now I have to come and fix that. So he prescribed everything. It wasn't a Baptist thing. It wasn't a Catholic thing. It was a Presbyterian thing. It was God's thing. You do it this way. All right? And that's exactly what it was. So whenever you see that, and the tabernacle of God is with men, that's a big deal. Because it was never that way before. You know, it's never, when I say before, when Jesus comes along, you remember he's sitting there and he tells them, you destroy this temple. What are they looking at? They're looking at a temple that Herod built that took 40 years. And the temple was the main thing. They said, oh yeah, the only way we can fellowship with God, so the Jews thought, was we have to go through this temple because that's what God prescribed. Exactly. So now Jesus comes along and he said, no, things are about to change. Remember the woman at the well? Remember that conversation? Oh, well, you say we're supposed to worship in Jerusalem, but we think we worship on Mount Gerizim. He said, but there's a day coming when that's irrelevant. God's going to be everywhere. That's where chapter 21 is going. Chapter 21 is going when holy city Jerusalem, which encompasses the world, basically, is going to come down. There is no evil, and God will literally be in our midst, and we will be with him. That's where it's going. That's what this is. God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his peoples. You said peoples. Actually, that's the way it is in the Greek New Testament. A lot of your translations have a simple singular, but it's not it. It's a plural. Peoples. More than one. You know, you never thought about this? It said all the nations, whenever we get to heaven, the people who trust Jesus and trust his blood to get them there, when we get to heaven, not everybody's going to be American. You know that, right? Hello? We're going to keep our distinctions. You'll see some people there and you might learn some things from people from other, what does it say? Nations. This is not a little deal, all right? This is not something that takes place in Palestine. Jerusalem's not big enough for this deal that we're talking about. Now, I know you and I have heard it all our life. Oh, that's exactly, it's too big for that. You know, it's just too big. That's not, logistically, that doesn't work. Shall dwell with them and they shall be his peoples. And God himself shall be with them in their presence, like he was with Adam and Eve in the garden. No hindrances, no facades, the real thing. That's where this is going. That's what this end is all about. So when you look at this and you start to say, you mean God started out with that in mind, and it got all messed up, and now we're in the middle of it. But it's going to be fixed one day, and it's going to come back to the place where God intended it to be in the very, very beginning. All right? And there came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls. You remember? We've seen these angels already early on in Revelation. They're doing this, they're doing this, and they're doing this. Same angels. Remember, this cycle's going. It hasn't stopped. If you're the first one here with us with Revelation, just because we studied something in chapter 3 doesn't mean that's done. Everything that started over there is still moving. We're in a cycle. This thing is not over till we get to the last verse of 22. So sometimes we see him talking back to about things that we already saw, and now he's explaining more about those things, but it's still the same cycle's going on. It doesn't just stop over here at chapter 3 and then pick up something brand new at chapter 4 and then it's done. Doesn't work that way. Who were laden with the seven last plagues. And he spake with me saying, come, I will show you the bride. He changes metaphors constantly. You know what? We talked about that already. I won't go back into it again. The bride, the wife of the Lamb. The bride is the wife of the Lamb. Is that a metaphor? Absolutely, it's a metaphor. How's a bride, a person, going to be the wife of a Lamb if the Lamb is not symbolic for Jesus? Who John said, the Lamb of God who does what? Takes away the sin of the world. You see how all that plays when John talks about it in the Gospel of John. And he carried me away. Ezekiel chapter 40 through 48 is identical to this, where God has given Ezekiel, he takes him up on the mountain. Go back and read it. Go back and read it. And it says, and he pulled me out and he took me up on the mountain. And so many of the very same things that God showed Ezekiel hasn't happened yet in the life of Israel. And it absolutely gives credence to this is what some of that means. And he says, and he took me on a spirit to a mountain great and high, and he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Man doesn't make this one, okay? So the amillennialists are wrong. We don't get better and better and better on this earth in just a thousand-year reign sets up here, because guess what? We're not getting it guilty. The new creation and Jerusalem are none other than God's tabernacle. All of that is a picture. It's a picture really of the same thing. He's just using different things to explain it to us. God's tabernacle. It is the true temple of God's special presence portrayed throughout Revelation 21. You know, what does God want? He wants to dwell with his people. He hasn't been able to do that since the Garden of Eden because of sin. So now he has to take another channel, and he says, well, I've got to fix it, and it has to be fixed my way. It can't be fixed a Baptist way or a Catholic way or a Presbyterian way. It has to be fixed my way. And his way is what? There's no other name given under heaven whereby we might be saved. That's the blood of Jesus. There is no other way. That's exactly what the Old Testament was. You know, if you go back and you study, there's some old books, probably out of print, but there used to be some, what was his name? He did an excellent job. Little paperback, where he took the time to dissect everything in the Old Testament tabernacle temple system, absolutely pouring into Jesus. Why do you think Jesus would say, I am the bread of life? Was bread in the temple? Was bread in the tabernacle? Yes. Whenever there's only one way to get in a tabernacle, Jesus says, there is no other way to get to the Father. You know why? You know why the Jews are at the Wailing Wall now, right? You've seen them on there where they stick their prayers. If you're Jewish, you know you can email a prayer and they will type it out and put it in one of the cracks in the Wailing Wall for you for a small fee. Why do they do that? Because on the other side was where the Holy of Holies was before it was destroyed. What does that mean? That's the closest thing that they can get to God. They don't get to God through Jesus. They're still trying to get there that way. And so this is all doing away with all of that, and where we can dwell with God, absolutely, he'll come down in our midst like he did with Adam and Eve. And nothing hindering that. That's what that is. The tabernacle is a true temple of God's special presence. And that's what God wants. He wants to be with his people. That's his whole desire, the whole thing he's about. It was this divine presence that formerly limited Israel's temple, and it began to expand through, you remember, whenever Israel kept failing and said, you know, I'm not going to do that. So God said, well, I'm going to get my will done. You know, it's just like you. If you know specifically God has called you and told you to do something and you wouldn't do it, does that mean, well, God said, well, I can't do that. What does he do? He goes and gets Otis. He's always got somebody out there willing. And he said, okay, Israel, I told you, when you go into the land, do not assimilate to them. Don't be like them. They were supposed to be God's witness. What did they do? They acted just like them. They've intermarried, and before long, everything's messed up. So God said, okay, I can't use you like I wanted to. So Paul explained this for us. He said, I will have to use the Gentiles, whom you Jews hate. Remember that story? When Jesus is there at the temple and he walks in, and it's just the same layout. The temple was a lot bigger than the tabernacle, but when you went in the east gate of the temple, and if you've ever seen a picture of it, if you've ever been to Jerusalem, it was huge. I mean huge. So the moment you walk in the gate, just the outer court is huge. And then you start to get into different segments. Well, the Gentiles could only get inside the gate. And that, if you would call it just an open yard. And then when you come to the next place where the ladies could be, and then men, and then priests, till you get to the very end where the priest could only go. All right? So the garage sale, we call it a bazaar. That's actually where we get the word from. That's the word translated. And Jesus walks in and he says, the only chance they had at getting to me, you've thrown it out and taken their slot. And Jesus was mad. Why? Because that was the only way to get to him. That's why he threw everything out. And he was mad because of that. So now the church has taken over, and God is doing all these things through the church until all this comes to fruition. You know, everybody says, well, he's going to do all these things with the Jews again. I don't know if he is or not. It doesn't really seem to indicate that here when he keeps talking about all the nations. I've heard it all my life, just like you. Oh, he's going to do all this again. Well, I'm not real sure. It doesn't say that in here. It just says all the peoples, the nations, those who trust, will fill the whole earth, becoming equal with it. That's where we're going. That's what this thing's going to be. You know, later on we'll get to it. excuse me. It's going to be a big social thing, all right? I'm not big on social stuff. I'm not. Right. But it will be. You know, there's no walls. There's nothing to separate us because we all get there and the one thing on our mind is worshiping God through the person of Jesus. That's it. So it does turn out, you know, we do have a picture of two cities in this thing. We have one is corrupt, Babylon, and we know what it ends up. And then you have the other city, which is New Jerusalem. And all of that comes together. But the main thing is one day it's going to all come down like it started in the Garden of Eden. Did you ever think about Adam being a priest? Let's hurry. Eschatological is just end times, okay? That's all that means. The end time goal of the temple of the Garden of Eden, dominating the entire creation, will one day be fulfilled. What are you saying? Is it possible? Because actually, in the study, if you look at some of the stuff that's in there when Danny puts it up there, some of the very words that are used about Adam in the garden are the very same words several places in the Old Testament of what the job of the priests were. Is it possible that God set up the Garden of Eden as what he intended for it to end up being when this thing all started? Adam was like a priest. He had a job. And he failed. So he was supposed to subdue. What does that mean? Kind of be an influencer to the whole world. Ain't it what it says? Here you are. You take and do what? And subdue it. That's what it means. But it didn't happen. It recapitulates the beginning story of Eden, and then it escalates it and takes it to another place. The tabernacle and temples were symbolic. There was nothing in the blood that did away with people's sin. It only covered it till the perfect sacrifice, Jesus, could come. But you had to offer it. Certain sins absolutely mandated you had to use a blood sacrifice. You couldn't just take the flour. Some sins, poor people could use some things like that, were symbolically designed to point to the very cosmic end times that God's tabernacling presence would not be in that little cubicle. It'd be in the whole world. Where the only people who would be in that whole world are the ones who trusted Jesus. The bad people are already gone. Remember, they're in a sauna. A fire and brimstone. Isn't it what they call those things? A sauna? What's that for exactly? What's a sauna for? What does that do for you? Other than just make you sweat? Is that supposed to sweat out something? Well, I sweat all the time and I still feel impure. So does that not work or not the same thing? And it don't cost anything. Right? Don't make any sense. Anyway, there's a lot of things that don't make any sense. Was to extend throughout the whole earth. We're not talking about just Jerusalem and Palestine. We're talking about the world. That's exactly where Adam started. Against this background, Revelation 21 is best understood as picturing the final end time of the entire cosmos. That's where we're going. A new heaven, new earth. Not a makeover, brand new one. That was messed up when Adam chose to sin, Adam and Eve. It's possible that the Garden of Eden was the archetype. You know what that means, right? It was the type of all the things, like a prototype. You know what they make before they really make all the other ones? Is that right? That's exactly what that was. And that it was a model for all the temples to come. Why? Because God says, I want to dwell with my people. And because of sin, he couldn't do it after Adam sinned the way he did before Adam sinned. That's why we have the tabernacle. That's why we have the temple. That's why we have the things that we have. Because God said, I'm going to get my will done. So that understanding of Eden will enhance the notion of the Old Testament tabernacle and temples that they were symbolic. I don't think there's ever going to be a temple set up again like it was in before AD 70 was torn down. A lot of people say, oh, yeah, he's going to build another one. The sacrificial. Why would the sacrificial system be built up again if Jesus is the perfect sacrifice? You say, well, because they're misled. Well, they are misled, that's for sure. Microms of the whole creation. Symbolic. This is the way the whole thing is supposed to be, I think. It's symbolic structures that were designed to point to a worldwide end-time temple where God's true glory has the freedom, and it's there. And we worship with nothing interfering with that. That's what God wants. You know, God doesn't want anything interfering with our relationship to Him. The Old Testament's full of it. How many metaphors to use for that? It is this universally expanded end-time temple that Revelation talks about in these last two chapters that we're looking at. That's what it is. At the same time, the idea of a new city temple is related not only to the old temple, and in the verses that I didn't read, where he gives you those precious stones. That doesn't mean those stones are, they're all symbolic. They're symbolic in the Old Testament. They're symbolic in the New Testament. It can be tracked back to the garden somewhat, though. If you look at those verses, exactly what it was, you'll see some of the very same things going on there. Eden was where Adam walked and talked with God, and nothing interfered. In Genesis, God places Adam to cultivate it and to keep it. Those two words. Same Hebrew words that are used several places in the Old Testament to show what the job of the priest was. So what are you saying? Adam could have been the priest. He could have been the one who was supposed to influence the whole world. And instead he sold out. Like the rest of the Jews did. How many times did they go into captivity? How many times was the temple crooked? How many times did God come to him and say, you know, why are you doing this? And so he sent him into captivity. Why? It's not like it's never going to go wrong. It went wrong with Adam. It's gone wrong all kind of times. It's wrong now in a lot of situations that what we would call organized religion. Those who have been the first priest, and so things would be modeled by what he was supposed to do after him, like the high priest. You know, not just anybody could go in and be the high priest, right? Hello? Remember whenever they went back from Nehemiah and he was looking at the records? Why did he need to look at the records? You can't just put anybody in the priest lot. Only a who? Levite. So when they couldn't prove it, he said, oh no, you can't do that. And right now, really, there's no Jew that can prove their lineage because all the records finally were destroyed in the temple in 70. So when you come back and say, oh, we know, how do you know? You can't prove it. You don't have the same record Joseph Smith group has in Utah. They know everything, right? Hello? You see what I'm talking about, though? That's the same concept. They don't have that anymore. It's gone. When Adam failed, his duty was expelled from the garden. And now what takes place? The cherubim that are over the Holy of Holies, that little square box. Remember it says, make these out of gold overlaid, put them on the Ark of the Covenant. Two cherubim. They were to take over Adam's job that he failed at. He talks about the tree of life. Do we see that again here in chapter 21, chapter 22? Yes. Do we see the river of life? Yes. Is that a coincidence? No. I don't think so. We're talking about worldwide. Sometimes we only think just in Baptist circles. Boy, that's trouble, right? Especially in the last, since COVID, there's so many Baptists went down the hole, and they'll never come back out, I'm afraid. A dark hole, unfortunately. The same cherubim appeared guarding the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy of Holies. Yeah. The Tree of Life was probably the model of the lampstand. If you've ever seen any pictures of some of the things that they carved out to put in the Holy of Holies and around the temple, at the top of that thing, you know, you have a round, what do you call it, a column. And then at the top, they make this fancy capital. Isn't that what they call it? And it has all these carvings that look like trees. Why? Why would they make them out of trees? And he's talking about trees and all these things, and you say, where did that come from? Garden, maybe? The Tree of Life was probably that model that they built it after. That the garden was the first temple that suggested by carvings on the gate of temple, where you go in the gate. You see all those things. If you read some of the literature that is apocalyptic, man, they really say that's exactly what it is. They could be wrong. They're not in our canon of Scripture, but they're something that you can read and gain an insight on how Jews were thinking in that intertestamental period before the New Testament was written. and it's full of things when they say, oh yeah, that's what that is, that's what that looks like. We've seen this, this, that. We know that's what that is. So there's all kind of evidence that could lean to say, okay, maybe that's exactly why this was modeled after that, because God had intended for the world to worship him, and Adam was the key guy, and he messed it up. So now I'm fixing it, but when we come to the end, it's going to all be back like I started it. And everybody will worship me. And what does it say about the temple? What's in the center of the temple? There's no lights. There's no altar. Why? Just God is the center. That's what it is. He said, I'm the center of the universe. That's where it's supposed to be. That's how it started. The entrance to Eden was on the east side, which was also the direction from which one entered the temple. Only one gate. East of Eden? Boy, that one went not exactly right, did it? Not only was Adam to guard the temple, was subdue it and fill the what? Earth. He was supposed to be the world evangelist, if you want to use those terminologies. A little bit, some kind of fruit. We don't know what it was. Symbolic, anyway. It's plausible to suggest that he was to extend the boundaries of the garden throughout the world. Where God was the center, God ruled, he walked with mankind and fellowshiped with him, and nothing interfered. Because man was obedient. He saw that tree over there, but he didn't eat of it because God told him not to. Right? Same thing we do whenever God said, you don't need to do that. You don't need to go there. You don't be messing around with those people. And we do it anyway. And we wonder why things fall apart. What he failed to do, Revelation presents Christ as, how many times have we referred to Christ as the what Adam? The second Adam. You ever thought about why that came out of that way? Why it's talked about that way? The second Adam? Why? Because he's going to fulfill what the first Adam messed up. The Eden imagery beginning in 22 reflects the intention to show that the building of the temple, which began in Genesis 2. Go back and read Genesis when you get home. Will be completed in Christ, and the people who trust Christ will be the creation. It's there at the end. Only the ones who trust Christ. Not the ones who are baptized. Not the ones who are just church members. The ones who trust Christ. You know how that means, right? It means every time you sinned in the Old Testament, you took your offering, you took it to the high priest, he killed it, caught the blood, and put it on the altar to cover your sin. You had to have enough faith in that blood that God was going to forgive you based on that. That's what it was. It's still that. It's just the blood of Jesus now. And by faith the same way. Because they couldn't see any other way. They saw it on the Day of Atonement. You remember what happened on the Day of Atonement? Once a year when the high priest, they would take several animals, and he would place his hand as a representative for the nation of Israel on the goat's head and the bullock's head, to show it transferred their sin by faith on the animal. By faith. They would kill one animal, and then they would take the other three animals and lead them out into the desert. It was a picture for them to understand that God no longer saw that sin. It was gone. That's what faith in Jesus is. It's not anything new. It's the very same thing that was in the Old Testament. Faith is always the issue. It's always the issue, and that's exactly what it is. And only those who place their faith in Christ will be this new creation. You know, and the best thing is always this. Are we sure, us, that we're trusting in Jesus and not some other element that you've tagged on to it? Oh, I trust Jesus, but I got to do this too. Why? Now, there's some things we should do because we're committed to Jesus, yes. But you need to make sure of that you're not doing it and you're saying, yeah, I know, I'm trusting Jesus, but I've got, you know, don't be like a Jehovah's Witness. You know the reason they're diligent knocking on doors? That's how they get their salvation. It's an earned thing. Yes, it's not a grace thing. That's why they're so diligent. And you can be ugly to them if you want to, and they'll come back. They're trying to earn their salvation. That's not what this is. That's what that means. The only people in the new creation are those who absolutely place their faith in Jesus. Because you can't see that. See, those Old Testament people couldn't see all that was going on, but they had to trust God enough to put their faith in Jesus. Okay, that, they didn't just say, well, I'm just going to go to church once a year and confess my sin. No. That was the national thing. Every day, if you sinned and you wanted to be right with God, you had to go get that animal pertaining for that sin, take it to the priest. If you did it tomorrow, you got to go do it again. So if you do it every day, you got to go five times. That gets costly, right? Especially if it costs an animal, because they're going to kill the animal. Have you ever really thought about that? I'm glad I'm not a priest. That would be some nasty job. You know, catching all the blood. I mean, that was, can you imagine on the day that they all came to Jerusalem and there's 250,000 of them there visiting and they're all offering sacrifices? Why it talks about the blood running down the hill into the valley there to the side, and it was just yucky. Now, that part of the world, blood out in the open, it gets nasty. You know what that does, though? It would have people to see visually, we're serious. God's serious about this thing. You might be playing a game, but God's not. Anyway, we got to quit. Where are we going to quit at? It's possible that the first temple and the whole idea existed before Israel in the Garden of Eden. All right. The great thing is God loves us. God paid a price for us to be right with Him. So whenever this thing comes down, we'll be with Him in glory. That's the good news, if we'll trust Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank You. Thank You. It is just beyond our capability to imagine why in the world You would love us. All of us know who we are, what our problems are, yet You love us. Father, You made all these provisions so that we can have peace now in this world and also have a place with You in eternity. Thank You for loving us that much.